We are today talking about tefillah. This is Nefesh HaChaim on tefillah and brachot. Beautiful, beautiful ideas. So we know that the mitzvah of tefillah is ulavdo b'chol levavchem, to serve Hashem with all your heart. Service of the heart is tefillah. So what does it mean to serve Hashem with all your heart? So the Gemara says, obviously, it's talking about tefillah. Serving Hashem with all the heart is talking about tefillah, brachot, daf lamed aleph. And why is that? So obviously you have to love Hashem with all your heart, because love flows from the heart. What is the heart? The heart is the emotion. The heart is the emotion. A person's got to love Hashem with the emotion. A person's tefillah's got to come from their emotion. So, and all one's soul, all one's might. One's soul is to give up one's life for God. Give one's life to God, that's hard. It's very hard. And that was the failure of the Maranos. They couldn't give up their life for God. They decided they're going to be secret Jews. They couldn't go through that, you know, to die for Kiddush Hashem. The Ashkenazim were very successful. Ashkenazim would die just for the Kiddush Hashem, you know, till the Haskalah, till Napoleon came along. But up to then, they were very, very tough, very strong. They gave their lives for God. Amazing. It's very hard to give one's life for God. So the guy says, you know, bow down to the idol, bow down to Yeshu, admit Yeshu is God. And so, no, I only believe in one God. Okay, we'll burn you at the stake. Imagine. Of the pain and the suffering and torture. So that's b'chol nefshecha, to love God with all one's soul, heart. With all one's might, it's with money. So we have to love God with our hearts. So how do you love God with your heart? And love God with your soul? Because the truth is that when you pray, it's also your soul. We talked about that, the ladder to heaven. The soul goes all the way up to meet Hashem. The soul goes to link to Hashem. So we can understand, so love comes from the heart, but love, the heart, pushes up the soul. So our prayer should evolve both our heart and our soul. So that's his chiddush. The chiddush is, tefillah is not just from the heart, tefillah is the heart plus the soul. Psh, that's a big chiddush. So how? Number one, he says, number one is the heart, getting rid of all extraneous thoughts. When a person prays, all thoughts come into their mind. So a person got to try and get rid of all the irrelevant thoughts and concentrate on the words of prayer. We know the Gemara says, you wait 1 hour before you pray. You do 1 hour before you pray. Focusing your mind on Hashem. We talked about before you pray, you got to think. My prayers are directed towards Eretz Yisrael. And where in Eretz Yisrael? They're directed towards Yerushalayim. And they're directed towards the Beit HaMikdash. And they're directed towards Kodesh Kodeshim. Four steps. You're supposed to think before you pray. Where is it going? That's already focused. That's already Kavanah. Kavanah is the same as guiding an arrow. So you're shooting the arrow, but you're going to guide the arrow. So where's the arrow going to? I suppose you're going to know where the arrow is going to. Where's the tefillah headed to? So that's part of expelling one's mind all irrelevant thoughts and focusing. So how do we focus? And the answer is you focus on the words of the tefillah. What is this word? Baruch atah Hashem. Trouble is, it's hard to explain. If you don't speak Hebrew, and even if you do speak Hebrew, we're going to talk about what does Baruch atah Hashem mean? Blessed are you, Hashem. We know Hashem is blessed. Well, you're making a statement. What are you doing? When you say Baruch Atah Hashem, are you describing Hashem? You're blessed. You're making a statement of fact. What do you do when you say Baruch Hashem? So that's the next section. That's a beautiful section of the Nefesh HaChaim. Worthwhile to hear this and listen to this and play this over in your head. So first, as he says, expelling from one's mind all irrelevant thoughts and focusing on the words of Tefillah. And where do we learn this? Because we learned it from Chana. Chana was the example the Gemara gives of successful tefillah. She knew how to pray. What does it say? Hannah spoke to her heart. She spoke to her heart. When she's speaking to her heart, she was totally focused. Her mind and her heart were totally focused on Hashem. And that's what David HaMelech says, Bechol lebi derashticha. I search for you with all my heart. I search for Hashem with all my heart. So one who's praying should wait until they're in a good frame of mind to pray. You know, it's interesting. Rambam, according to Rambam, a person would never hardly pray. Rambam, this is halacha. If you have distractions, Rambam says, don't pray. You came back from a business trip, 3 days don't pray. 3 days. I mean, obviously in those days, the trips were, you go on a camel, you go through the desert, you go on a boat, it's dangerous, it takes 3 days to recover from a trip like that. Not like today, you go on a plane and you're ready, the next day you're ready. But in those days, so you can imagine, a guy goes on a plane, he comes back, Arvit, and he's a bit,
Jet lagged.
According to Rambam, no tefillah, patur. So today we don't follow that. Why not? Because anyway, when we pray, we're not focusing. Right? The Mishnah says for Chatan, on the first night he gets married, doesn't say Shema. No, he doesn't pray. Of course, he doesn't pray. But of course, he can't even say Shema, which is Deraita. Why? Because he can't focus his mind. So don't say Shema. So today, everyone says Shema. Why? Because even the best days, we don't focus our mind. So you can imagine, we can't even focus our minds on the Shema, which is just one line. How much more so? How much can a person pray? So today, it's very hard, very, very hard to focus. But a person's got to try. The more a person tries, the more reward. That's all. The rabbi said, one who prays should wait until they are in a good frame of mind to pray. Okay? It's also in Brachot. To serve Hashem with all your heart, not part of your heart. A person's got to serve Hashem with all your heart. What's with all your heart? All your concentration, all your thoughts. Not when your heart is divided. So a person's mind is here and mind is there. I can pray. And the answer is, we pray anyway. Why? Otherwise we'll never pray. If you're going to wait till all your heart is focused, you're going to wait till Mashiach comes. Well, unless a person really is in distress. A person's really in distress, that's why they pray with all their hearts. We should never know. That is. But the prayer is really, the quality of the prayer, you can't imagine someone sick in the family, Bar Minan, it should never happen, but then the prayers really come out. A person's in trouble, the law, the IRS, Bar Minan, which one should never know. The prayers really come out. A person's sick, whatever. All these things, a person needs children. A person needs a wife. A person needs to pray with all their heart. Focus, focus, focus. When it prays, that's the best time to pray. That's the Ramban, right? The Ramban says you only pray when you're in distress. That's the mitzvah from the Torah, Ramban. Mitzvah of the Torah is very near distress. Makes sense. Why? Because that's when a person is really going to pray. When is he going to pray? When things are going well, people don't pray properly. Unfortunately. It's only when people are really stressed out, that's when they pray. That's when the whole heart is focused. So that's number one. Number one is focusing the heart. Number two, shutting out all pleasurable feelings while praying. What does that mean? A person just ate. That's why it's not good to eat before you pray. I feel satisfaction in my stomach. Pleasurable feelings. The person says, nice cool breeze. I came for the air conditioning. Should not. Person's mind should be above that when they pray. They shouldn't be focusing on their physical needs and their physical happiness. They should be focusing on Hashem. Taking delight in Hashem through the words of Tefillah. One's heart is drawn upwards. One who prays should concentrate his mind heavenwards. So that's the idea. The idea is to push one's neshama up. How do you push your neshama up? Because your neshama is where your head is. If your head is thinking upwards, your neshama is upwards. Right? Rambam says, that's Rambam in Moreh Nevuchim. You are where your head is. You are where your mind is. So your mind is with Hashem. Where are you? With Hashem. Your soul is with Hashem. So that's the power of Tefillah. So number one is remove all extraneous thoughts. Number two is to push the soul up by pushing the mind up. Okay. So then he says, the concept of purifying one's heart before prayer is a hidur mitzvah. Purifying one's heart before prayer is hidur mitzvah. That's not a mitzvah. The mitzvah is to pray. Whether your heart is pure or not pure, that's the mitzvah is to pray. But if you can purify your heart, that's even better. It's a beautiful mitzvah. That's how you beautify the mitzvah. So interesting. So there's two sections. One is the ideal tefillah, empty your heart from everything else. And then we have the basic mitzvah. The basic mitzvah is to pray. So if you can do both, you have the beauty of the mitzvah and then you have the mitzvah itself. So you have the beautification of the mitzvah, which is focusing one's heart, and the mitzvah of tefillah. So tefillah is prayer. Okay, now we come to the next section, which is, what is a bracha? What is a bracha?
Blessing.
A blessing. What is a blessing? Your blessing, God? Yeah. Does God need your blessing? He needs your blessing. Yeah? God needs your blessing?
No.
Make your mind up. Yes or no? Let's take a vote. Does God need a blessing? No. Who says yes? Does God need a blessing?
Blessing?
We need His blessing. Okay. So what are you saying when you make a bracha?
Bless us.
Bless us. Oh. Blessing. Oh, so you have to explain it. But the language is a very strange name. Baruch Atah Hashem. Blessed are you, Hashem. We're saying what he said. We're saying the way God is blessed. But that's not what it means. You are the source of blessing. Baruch Atah Hashem. You are the source of blessing. And through you come more blessing. Let's discuss. This is a very, very important. Everyone should know this. It's very, very important. What is a bracha? Because everyone thinks, you know, I'm blessing God. God doesn't need my blessings. God is blessed whether you bless him or not. He's blessed. He's already blessed. So Baruch does not mean blessed or praised as an adjective, as most people think. That God is blessed is an adjective. It's describing God as blessed. No. God is not blessed. God does not need blessing. God is above blessing. Proof is this. There's an interesting Gemara. This Gemara is in Brachot Daf Zayin. We learned this in one of the classes. So the Gemara says that there was a famous Kohen Gadol, high priest. His name was Rabbi Ishmael. Rabbi Ishmael Kohen Gadol. And he goes into the Holy of Holies in Yom Kippur. And guess what? He sees something. He sees something. Rabbi Ishmael was one of those 10 people the Romans killed. Rabbi Ishmael Kohen Gadol was one of the big tzaddikim of the generation. That when the others heard that the Romans want to kill them, they asked him, go and find out from Hashem if this is a decree or not. Does this what? They said, Rabbi Ishmael Kohen Gadol, he meditated and he went and he asked and he found it was a decree. So they accepted it. So, can imagine, he sees a vision inside the Holy of Holies on Yom Kippur. He sees a vision. What does he hear? Hashem is asking him, Ishmael, give me a blessing. Think about this. Ishmael b'ni barcheni. That's what the Gemara says. Ishmael, my son, give me a blessing. Give me a blessing. Hashem is asking the Kohen Gadol, give me a blessing. So, what does that mean? Give me a blessing. So, what does the Ishmael Kohen Gadol say? Look what he says. He says, Hashem, he says, may it be your will that your mercy should control your anger. Yichbeshu rachamecha ad ka'asecha. Your mercy should control your anger. Right? Hashem says, bless me. What does it mean, bless me? A prayer that your mercy should control your anger. That's the biggest. What's going on over here? He's not blessing God. He's asking God for something. Bless me does not mean bless me. I don't need blessing. I'm the source of blessing. Bless me means ask for a bracha for me. Bless me means ask for a bracha for me. Acknowledge me as the source of blessing and ask for something. So the true meaning of bracha is asking Hashem to increase what is being blessed. Hashem is the source of blessing. When you say Borei Peri Haetz, Baruch Atah Hashem Borei Peri Haetz, increase the fruits of the tree. Give a bracha on the fruits of the tree. We're not blessing God, we're blessing God for creating the fruits of the tree, which means you are the source of the fruits of the tree. Bless it more. Give more fruits of the tree. Blessed is God to bring out the bread from the ground. I want you to bless the bread of the ground. Give more bread from the ground. How do you become rich? Wow, beautiful. Brachot. Why? Because you're asking God to increase. Bracha is a blessing. Blessing means increase what you're already blessed. Yeah.
The phrase Kadosh, 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 is that the same that he's the source of holiness, or is that something else?
That's something else. I think it's something else. The proof is that we jump on our legs.
Yeah.
Separation. Kedusha is separation. Hashem is separate from the world. He separates himself, which is hard to understand. We have no concept of what that means. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. But even the angels are saying Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Ayeh mekom kivado. That's the bottom line. The bottom line is they don't know where is he. Where is he? He's above us. Where is he? We know there's an interplay. We don't know how it works. He's too far ahead. We can't. We're going to talk about that because there's no way you can't describe Hashem. You can't describe Hashem. We're going to talk about that. Exactly what we're going to talk about. So what do we say when we say a bracha? What is a bracha? Increase. We're asking God to bless us. You are the source of blessing, Hashem. Bless us. Bless the fruits of the tree. Bless the fruits of the ground. Bless the bread. Bless everything. God, you bless. Bless us. Give us more. Give us increase. A bracha means increase. A curse is decrease. Everything's going backwards. A blessing is increase. Person sees, you know what? I had a good year. You had a blessed year. It's not a good year. It's a blessed year. If you see your salary is increasing, blessed you. You see your house is increasing, blessed you. You see you have more children, it's blessed you. You see everything's going down, it's not good yet. That's the opposite of blessing. Blessing is when everything's going straight. And curses is when everything's going backwards. Where do we see this? In Parashat Bechukotai, which is the parasha of the blessings and curses. The blessings start with the letter Aleph. Im Bechukotai, Aleph Mem. Im, Aleph. And end off with the last letter, Taf. Komimiyut. Taf. Aleph to Taf, good sign. If the blessings are going from Aleph to Taf, everything in order. From Aleph, which is the first letter, to the last letter. It covers imagine the blessings cover the Aleph to Taf. Everything in my life is going well. Blessing in everything. That's the biggest bracha. The curses start ve'im, with a vav, and end with a hey. Number one is, They're limited, Baruch Hashem. The curses were limited to a vav and a hey. But they're going backwards. The vav is before, is after the hey. Should be hey vav. No, it's vav hey, which is a life is going in the wrong direction. That's a curse. Curse is when things are going upside down. The guy misses his train, and he loses a job, he loses day, everything upside down. That's a curse. Blessings when everything's going in order. You wake up in the morning, your routine is the same, everything's all the same, you're successful, you finish your day, everything successfully, Hashem blessed you. People don't realize that. If everything in your day went well, that's a blessing. If everything in your day is upside down, you've got to start asking questions. Hashem, what do you want from me? Why is everything going upside down? So that's a bracha, is asking God to increase what we already have. Increase your blessing on us. Baruch atah Hashem. Increase. Because a bracha means increase. So when we say a bracha, blessed are you Hashem, our God, we're not speaking about Hashem. Hashem is blessed already. Hashem is perfect. We're asking God to increase what we have. Okay. So that's number one. That's very important to know. He said, Baruch Atah Hashem, is asking Hashem to bless. It's not an adjective. It's a verb. Bless, source of blessing, Hashem. Bless us, Hashem. We're asking God to bless us. Now, who is Hashem? And the answer is, we have no idea. When we talk about Hashem, we're talking about His attributes, His midot. There are 13 attributes of God, and other attributes as well, but we talk about the 13 attributes. And therefore, we talk about God, we talk about His attributes. So, we talk about God of judgment. We talk about the God of mercy. But God Himself is way above that. You know, His attribute is, I see you angry. Is that who you are? Right now I'm angry, but that's not who I am. Right? That's how I'm acting. Say you see an actor on a stage. That's how he's acting, but that's not who he is. He's an actor. Hashem also, we don't see Hashem Himself. We see the way He behaves. Whatever that means. We see actions of Hashem in history. We see the way Hashem behaved in history. So we say it's the God of justice, God of mercy, God of, but He is above that. That's all His attributes. That's how He acts. But He's above that. It's like a computer program. It's lehavdil. I mean, this is you take it with a pinch of salt. But you program the machine to act in a certain way in certain parameters. That's how programming works. Certain parameter hits, the machine acts in this way. Right? So same thing, Hashem built a machine called the Sefirot or whatever it is, and whatever we do, it reacts to what we do. Is that Hashem? No. It's the attributes. The attributes is the machinery that guides the world. Hashem is above that. Hashem doesn't get angry. Hashem doesn't get sad. Hashem doesn't get generous. Hashem is above that. These are all the attributes that He created to collect the world, to control the world. So when we speak of Hashem, we're referring to His attributes, the way we look at them. So one day we see, Hashem is being rough with me, He's a God of justice. Or we see He's a God of promises. He appeared to the forefathers as a God of promises. He never kept His promise. He's a God of promises. He promised everything, promised this, promised that, nothing. So He's a merciful judge, He's a compassionate God. Yudke Vavke is not the essence of God, it's the relationship to the world. Haya, hove, v'ye. He was, He is, will be. He's always there. Hashem is always there. That's His relation to us. Where is Hashem? He's always there. That's Yudke Vavke. When we say Hashem, that's what it means. He's a master. Adonut, Adonai. He's my master. So there's different ways of describing Hashem based on how we react, how we feel. Today we feel good. Hashem is kind to me. He's a kind God. We see God making a war, like with Pharaoh at the Red Sea. Hashem ish melchama. God is a man of war. God is not a man of war. That's not description of God. That's description of His attributes. He's acting like a war, man of war right now. So, God really, you can't describe God. There's nothing here we have to describe God. No name describes God. It describes the attribute of God right now. But it's not a name of God. And that's why when Moshe Rabbeinu asked God, what's your name? What does God answer? Ehyeh asher ehyeh. I will be what I will be. What do you mean, I'll be what I'll be? I'll be whatever attributes I'm using that time. I will be, depending on the situation, certain attribute of me, you'll see. I will be. Imagine. So, Hashem is changing, depending on, He's not changing, He's above that. But the attributes are changing because of machinery. The attributes are changing based on what is going on. If things are going well, kindness. If things are going not well, judgment. So the essence of Hashem is beyond our comprehension. We have no idea what Hashem is. Even the angels don't know. That's what Ari says. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Three steps above. Why is it three steps up? Because in our world, we're the lowest level. We're the fourth level. So God is Kadosh, 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 above. But so that's right. Three dimensions above us. But that's not even true because the angels are saying it. So he's even higher than that. He was, he is, and will be. He grants existence to all. In other words, he will sustain and keep in existence the worlds every instant of time. He was in the past. He kept the world alive in the past. He keeps the world alive now and keeps the world alive in the future. So the purpose of reciting a bracha is to increase our awareness of Hashem in creation and asking God to bless, increase your presence. Increase your presence in the fruits. Give more fruits. Increase your presence in the world. Every time you say Hashem's name, you're increasing Hashem's presence in the world. You're advertising God. Right? You go to work and say, Baruch Atah Hashem. And the guy says, what are you doing? He says, I'm thanking Hashem. I'm praising God. So by doing that, you're increasing Hashem's presence because people are more aware. They're aware of what you're doing. They say, oh, there's God in the world. So let's continue. So, Ekiyah Shekiyah. I will be what I will be. I will reveal myself through my behavior through the world, depending on my actions. Right? When I exercise strict judgment, I'm called Elohim. When I exercise mercy, I'm called Yudke Vavke. When I contend with evildoers, I'm called Tzevakot, the God of the armies. When I keep a person's sins pending, I'm called El Shaddai. I'm keeping the judgment away. And when I'm merciful, I'm called Yudke Vavke. So I will be what I will be. I will be whatever attribute at that time, depending on the situation. But it's not really Hashem. It's the attribute that comes into play that we call these different names. That's why there's different names for God. Why? Because each name describes a different attribute of God. But it's not God himself. God above. God is above that. For this reason, there's a bracha which we say over a mitzvah. Right? Baruch atah Hashem. Asher kidishanu. Asher is in the third person. Who sanctified us? It doesn't say you sanctified us. Right? Very strange, right? Baruch Ata. Usually we say Baruch Ata Hashem, Borei Peretz. You're the one who created the tree, the fruit of the tree. When it comes to the mitzvah, we say Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Asher Kidishanu. Who sanctified us? What do you mean, who sanctified us? You sanctified us. Why say who sanctified us? That's a good question. So he said, that's the reason why the Anshei Knesset Adola, the leaders of the Great Assembly, referred to God in the second person on the mitzvah and closed the bracha with Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh, or sometimes in the direct. Because the God who commands us and sanctifies is God the Infinite, who is hidden, and therefore he refers to him in the third person. Baruch Atah Hashem is the God that we see, the attribute we see. But the God who commanded us is above that. Psh, you know? So it's a totally different concept. Baruch Atah Hashem is the attribute. Hashem is the attribute of kindness. Elokeinu Melech Haolam, which is the attribute of judgment, King of the world, right? And then Asher Kidishanu is talking about God above that, which is the essence of Hashem. Hashem, the essence, commanded us.
We activate this attribute when we pray.
So, of course. Depends on your frame of mind. If you're in a good frame of mind, you attract kindness. If you're in a nasty frame of mind, you attract judgment. That's why it's very important to pray in a good frame of mind. That's why a person who's angry shouldn't pray. This can bring disaster to the world. Person had a fight with someone, shouldn't pray. What are they going to pray for? They're going to pray. They're going to pray to a judgment on the other guy. So it's very dangerous. Very dangerous. It says that Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, he was put in Cherem. You know what Cherem means? The rabbis threw him out. Why did they throw him out? Because he never accepted their authority. In the Sanhedrin, you go by the majority opinion. He says, I know more than everyone else. I don't accept the majority opinion. So they took a vote, and they voted against him. So I don't care what you say. I'm right. So they put him in Cherem. Who put him in Cherem? Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel was the head of the Sanhedrin. Right? He was a Nasi, he was the prince at that time. It says he was married to Rabban Gamliel's sister. Imagine, think about this. Rabbi Eliezer, who's put in harem, was the brother-in-law of the person who put him in harem. So he's married to the sister of Rabban Gamliel, right? That's the story, right? And what happens? The sister refused to let him do vid nefilat apayim. Every time he was praying, imagine, he's not allowed to go to shul. He's not allowed to mix with people. He's in harem. If you want to go talk to him, you have to sit 6 feet away from him. You can't sit within his circle close to him. He's in harem. So he doesn't go to minyan, he prays at home. So whenever his wife sees he's coming to nefilat apayim, she stops him. He's not allowed to. In those days, they would go like this, nefilat apayim. They would pray. Some of them would go even flat and pray. Why she was scared, maybe he'll think about her brother and the brother will die. So it says one day she didn't stop him and the brother died. Wow, it's a wild story. But it just shows when a person prays, you got to watch out where you're thinking. A person prays, that's why it's good to pray in a good mood. Always good, happiness, you attract chesed, attract kindness. Some people are dangerous. With their words, they can attract judgment on people. They talk bad about people. That's why it's so dangerous to talk bad about people. It's not good. I don't like people who come to shul and then criticize. Why? Because it attracts judgment. So it's always good to always be nice to people, smile to people. That attracts kindness. And that's the difference. We're pushing buttons. We don't see these buttons. Invisible buttons. Because the way we behave, that's how Hashem gives back to us. It's called Midah Keneged Midah. Well, how do you translate Midah Keneged Midah? An action and it equals a corresponding action. It's like the laws of momentum in physics. Isaac Newton, right? What does Isaac Newton say? Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. So everything we do has an equal and opposite reaction that Hashem does as well. If we're kind, Hashem says, you're kind, I'll be kind to you. If you're smiling, Hashem says, I'll smile at you. So that's how the machinery works. It's not Hashem though, it's the machinery of Hashem. The problem is, we link it all together. Because we don't see, what do we see of Hashem? We see the machinery, we see the attributes. We see the attributes of Hashem. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to say. Listen, Hashem, show me who you are. Hashem says, I'll show you my back. I'll show you my attributes. I'll show you the outer layer, but you won't see the true layer because no one can see it. No human being can understand Hashem. All we can see is the attributes of Hashem. Pardon?
Do we get that in the next world? What?
Ne'anim Ziva Shekhinah. Ziva Shekhinah is the lowest section, lowest part of the Sefirot. It's not. Again, we get a glimpse. Again, a little glimpse, because again, we're creatures, we're not. It's a soul, it's our soul, which was created by God. Obviously, maybe at higher levels, it can go even higher. I mean, if you're a bigger Kabbalist, you can go even higher. There are two Gan Edens. There's Gan Eden HaLion and Gan Eden HaTachton. There's two Garden of Edens. There's Gan Eden HaTachton, which is in the Malchut, and there's Gan Eden HaLion, which is in Bina, much higher level. So to go there, it's a much higher level, much, much higher level. But again, you get, how much revelation can a soul get? It depends on the source of their soul. You can only go up to your source. So you can't go above the source. That's where your source is. But your source can move. That's the Chiddush. Chiddush is the source can move. Okay. So the underlying idea of all our brachot is that we direct our prayers to one infinite and absolute God. Only problem is, we are unable and even forbidden to know that God because we don't know that God. Who is God? Don't know. Imagine. You go to the greatest rabbi in the world and say, who is God? Don't know. All I know is, right, I don't, there's no, the essence of Hashem, you don't know. All I know is, he's above time. All I know is, he's one. All I know is he's everywhere and he's nowhere. He's everywhere and nowhere. What does that mean? He's everywhere, but I can't put my finger on him. So he's nowhere. As far as I'm concerned, he's nowhere. But he's everywhere.
It's like air.
You can't see him. Air. Not even air. Less than air. He can see us, we can't see him. He's aware of us and we're not aware. That's a trouble. So the underlying idea of all our brachot and prayers is that we direct our prayers to the one infinite and absolute God. However, we don't know the essence of God because the essence existed before the world was created. We can't see God before creation. You know why? There was nothing that shows his attributes. We only can envision God through the attributes. Before creation, there were no attributes. Before man came along, there were no attributes. Why? Because who's going to recognize God's attributes? There's nothing around to recognize the attributes. So we pray to God from a point of his relationship to the universe. So as far as we're concerned, Hashem, you Hashem are the king of the world. You are the God of the universe. That's how Abraham Avinu found Hashem. Who is the one who created the world? Hashem. Baruch Atah Hashem. Bless you, Hashem. Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, the creator of the world, the king of the world. That's our relationship to God. And then we continue. We don't know the unknown. Asher kidishanu mitzvotav. Who commanded the mitzvot? Right? That's the unknown. So since you wish the world to exist, and you're involved over it, and you rule over it, our plea is that you may reign forever, may your kingship over us be revealed and become visible. That's what we want. We want Hashem to become the essence of God to be visible. That's a very high level. That's a very, very high level. And it's even hard to think about it. Because that's revelation. You need revelation. If God was not involved in the world, there would be no point in studying the Torah and doing mitzvot. Was why are we studying Torah? Because God is involved in the world. God wants the world to be a better place. God wants the mitzvot to fix the world. By doing mitzvot, we're fixing the world. So we see God is involved in the world. God wants the world to exist. God wants the world to be better. But the essence of God is not affected by us. Our mitzvot do not affect the essence of God. Hashem is unchanging. The essence of God is unchanging. All we can do affect is the attributes of God. We can affect more my kindness. We can affect judgment. We can affect retribution. We can affect all this. Okay. In Tehillim, David HaMelech says, God's words are pure. Rav says, the mitzvah were given for the sole purpose of purifying the Jewish people. Very, very revolutionary concept. Why are we doing mitzvot? Not for God. We're doing it to make us better. We're doing it. Hashem gave us a vehicle to be able to climb up the ladder to Hashem. How do you climb up the ladder? If there's no mitzvot, there's no ladder. If there's no Torah, there's no way of understanding God at all. So the mitzvot were given for us. Because Hashem is the one who blesses everyone, doesn't need anyone's blessing. He's above the blessings. Every time you make a bracha, you increase the blessings of the worlds above. The Zohar says, the power of Birkat HaMazon, the grace after meals, is great. It adds strength in the worlds above. So you can imagine, a person who doesn't say a bracha, eats without a bracha, is called a thief. Because they're stealing holy energies from the worlds above. So when we say a bracha, we're actually doing something physical, in the worlds above, we're creating more energies because we're creating more blessing. How do you create more blessing? The blessings come from above. If you're asking God to be bless the world, so God creates more energies to bless the world. So when you're making a bracha, you're creating more energies in the worlds above. If a person doesn't say a bracha, the energies in the world above are less, and therefore the less comes down. So we're stealing from the world. We're stealing from the world. Okay, we're going to stop here. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen. Yeah, I'm not sure.